T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
3-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
All right, it's time for our buddy Teddy Bruschi. He's brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. He's on the Harbor One hotline right now. Mr. Bruschi, how are you today?
Guys, I'm doing okay. How are we today?
So how are you surviving down there in ESPN with everybody walking around in Bristol up and down the hallways? Those cheaters, they're doing it again.
Back
they're
at cheating. It. He walks around with his head down.
Yeah. They're back at it.
Just ashamed of the whole, ashamed of everything.
I hold my head up high. I fight the good fight.
I mean, how foolish is this thing? I mean, it's pretty obvious it was a television thing. Now, shame on the Patriots for screwing it up. You know, they screwed it up. But come on. And this is what it's going to become? The Spygate 2? Come on, Teddy.
Yeah, well, I like the word foolish, but my initial reaction was that word would go to the production of the entire video. And through the probably the start of it, somebody thought this was a good idea, okay, to go and have somebody film what an advanced scout does. I think we know what an advanced scout does, especially when he gets into a visiting team's press conference. And to have that thought of, well, why don't we film that? That's where the foolishness comes in.
Yeah.
And to me, it's a very serious mistake. I mean, I don't know if it's a lose your job type of mistake or anything like that, but all of this now, you just don't want to reopen that wound because it's there and people remember it and the success has continued for this team. And along with that success comes a lot of hate. And from the hate, they all look for the reason to pounce again. And here we are.
See, I just think, I'm wondering, you know, what conversations are like for you, you know, when you're over there, and do you basically, I feel like you almost have to just kind of throw your hands up and say, well, I mean, you can't convince a crazy person that they're not crazy. They just, they are crazy. And no matter what you say to them, you know, they don't get it. So is that the type of situation you find yourself in? Are you like tired of defending the Patriots?
Somebody's got to do it. You know, and if it's got to be me, it's going to be me. And I've done that before on shows like NFL Live or First Take with Kellerman and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's happened. And, you know, it's if it's something I got to do, it's something I got to do because they just got to understand that they don't see things right. And if it's got to be me, I'll do it. I mean, we all know when I argued with Damian Woody back in the day when it was him and I on the set and the whole Deflategate thing. And so, if I got to help some people understand, that's fine with me. I think they're very good in working with me in terms of I never am told what to say or anything like that. It is one way that I see it, and it's been the Patriot way because it's the only organization I've played for. Now, I try not to be too homeristic, if you will. I mean, I know that it upsets me when I hear people talking about what's going on, the whole even Spygate 2 type of thing. And it's easy, and I can see it as in terms of what were they thinking inside the Kraft Sports Group or whatever it's called in there, that production, and when it's all headed up, and what were you thinking? A part of me does think that, and a part of me gets upset at them also. Because, in my opinion, this situation should never have happened, and there should have never have been a camera in there to even film what an advanced scout does at an opposing stadium.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of those people now that are talking, you know, they always, Because none of us here believe that anything to do with football operations. But when even the haters come out and say, but, you know, this organization doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I mean, to a point, I get that, right? Because there's just a lot of stuff. Like you said, you're constantly defending them. But I don't know if it matters, Teddy, you know, because a lot of people look at it and say, I don't really care about the facts. They don't look at facts. They just see the Patriots caught again, period, end of story.
And it's hard. And you know, I'm sort of with you, too, Lou, in terms of you can't blame them for thinking this because of things that were happening in the past. But then there's the other side. But wait, you don't even understand about the past and what happened there.
Right.
So there's so many different layers of it. But in terms of the bottom line of it, people, I mean, sometimes they just look for the easy way out. They look for the easy way out to explain the success, to explain the dominance over their team, to explain why that the Patriots have been successful for so long.
Yeah.
And it's easy for people to see it this way rather than say, man, you know what? They're just good. You know, and the coach is smarter, the quarterback's better, the defense has players that are just better than ours, and it's harder for them to see that because it helped them explain their own inadequacies as a football organization and as a team. So that's harder to do. This is the easier thing to do.
We're talking to Teddy Bruschi, our get-together every Wednesday. So Monday we interview Bill. This story breaks. First thing we ask him is this story, and he expounded. He talked about it. And, you know, a lot of times he'll shy away from stuff, but he wanted to talk about it. And my gut feeling on that one, Teddy, is he's really pissed. You know that he probably was not a guy that was in there saying, oh, I'll do whatever TV shows and TV digital stuff you want to do for Kraft Productions. He was not a big fan of that to begin with because that was getting in the way of football. My guess is he's really even more pissed now because all of the other good things are happening to him outside. The team is deep into the season. Wouldn't you think this is really driving him crazy?
Yeah, and for him to expound on that like that is the other side of it is he knows it's serious, and he knows what this can end up leading to and the opening of Pandora's box. So I need to get my words out there right now about this is what happened. I had no idea what was going on. I have nothing to do with that production area inside of the stadium in which we've all been there, that Kraft Sports Group production camera, the studio that they have, Patriots All Access, the Belestrator, I believe, is done in there, the player interviews, all of that stuff. The football operations has nothing to do with it. So Bill had to explain himself and come pretty clearly and pretty strongly because look what's been happening. I mean, the HBO special last night of Saban and Bill, the 100 greatest players of all time, and there's Bill. You know, right there, of course, one of the first ones mentioned in terms of the history of the game, the 100 best, you're there. And now there's this. So right when there's so much more positivity and good momentum going and everyone's talking about trying to figure out what's going with the problems on the field and the offense and all this and how come you're only 10-3, those are good problems to have. This is something you just absolutely don't want, especially in terms of all of the good things that have happened up to this point.
So with all that said, and it's probably, you know, bad judgment, whatever, careless, you know, production of it, execution of the whole episode, do you think they will be fined, suspended, draft pick? What do you think?
I think something's going to happen. I don't know the severity of it because, bottom line, the controlling of that production company is the New England Patriots organization, is it not?
Yep.
And so the New England Patriots organization, somehow, some way, you should have known. And this is the NFL speaking, as if I'm sort of paraphrasing here, as if I'm the NFL. Yes, it's not the football operations. We understand that, how there are different production crews within many teams that have their own digital content, social media, and all that stuff. But you have to have some type of, you know, sort of some control of it all and understand the rules. And your entire organization has to know and have an idea of what's right and what's wrong. And I know they've attempted to do this, and maybe this was just one person making a mistake, But still, that's why everyone has to be on the same page, from owner to head coach to quarterback to kicker to the media relations and everything. You're responsible. And I can see the NFL saying that, plus with your past, this is happening again. So here's the fine. Here's a draft pick. I don't know how serious it's going to be, fellas, but this is the NFL we're talking about now. And there's not. I don't think there's a lot of friends in the NFL, for the New England Patriots. No. And I think you guys agree with me there.
No, good observation.
So, Teddy, about this time last year, they had lost two straight, Miami and then Pittsburgh. And we all sort of wrote them off, and we all know they won the Super Bowl. So here we are again. Is this different? Because it feels different because this offense is that bad. I don't know. You tell me.
It is different. Now, I mean, they're similar in terms of them losing the games and all that stuff. Okay, that's similar, two in a row, December, all of that stuff, whatever. But who they are has been consistent up until this point. And I look at the Kansas City game, Lou, and think that, all right, that game should have gone to overtime. And so flip of a coin, and then who knows what happens there. Okay, because you got the N'Keal Harry, there's no touchdown there, and then all of a sudden, instead of kicking a field goal to tie, you have to go for the touchdown, and various things like that happen. But if things go, if that official doesn't blow that call, it's a different situation, it's in overtime, and it's a different tone right now, and you never know what it is. So in terms of, once again, what I've been talking about, the defense got a turnover early. I think it's the Jackson interception, and they couldn't capitalize. But still, McCourty forces a fumble on Kelsey. I think they got a touchdown out of that. They got the block punt. I think that's the only way. They only got a field goal out of that, I believe. But that's what's happening, and that's the formula to get them to overtime if everything goes properly and the officials know what they're doing.
You know, hold on real quick. It's just so funny. It made me think of something, because when you think about this game and just the offense in general, even Edelman threw a touchdown. Remember Edelman threw a touchdown pass? It's like everything has to be some sort of trick play. It has to be some manufactured timing gadget play.
So what does that tell you about their? What does that tell you about the way they feel, Foyer, about their own offense?
No, listen, I said it 7 weeks ago. They're terrible. They suck. Their offense is terrible. It's not going to get any better. So you're forced to do that.
Those trick plays, those timely trick plays, multiple trick plays, are literally them saying, we know, we agree, but we need to find some type of manufactured success, so we got to trick them. Mm-hmm. And that's the answer. So we trick them, we catch them off guard, we test their discipline, and by the way, defense, you got to get us a couple extra possessions, and special teams, if you can get that block punt once every three games, that's going to help too. And that's how it's going to be for them the rest of the way.
So where's there any hope here, Teddy? They tried to run against the team you thought they could run against. They couldn't do that. Breakdowns once again in the offensive line. Teams are blitzing them on third down. You know why? Because they know they can get to Brady, and he can't get the ball out quickly enough. And if he can't get it to Julian Edelman, he can't get it to anybody. So other than trick plays, and as you pointed out, your defense or your special team scoring for you, how can they possibly fix this?
They can possibly fix it. No, wait, just get it out of your mind right now. There's no fixing it. It is what it is.
Let me write that down. It is what it is. I'm writing that down.
I picture Teddy grabbing your face saying, snap out of it, Glenn, snap out of it.
It happened again right there for the Chiefs. That's who they are. They got to manufacture offense. Hopefully you get those plays on defense and special teams and that. And hopefully Boger's crew doesn't blow a call. Oh, yeah. And then you're in overtime. And now let's play. And then situationally, coaching-wise, in clutch moments, who's better? Our quarterback or theirs? Our defense or theirs? Our coach or the other team? And then there it is. That's what it's going to be. The dominating performances. I don't know what you're going to see in Cincinnati, guys. Cincinnati's not very good. I think everyone listening out there knows that. They get the win, probably. Okay? So the dominating 20-point wins, all of that stuff is gone. It's gone. It's going to be coming down in the fourth quarter. And McCourty, we need you. Slater, we need you. Brady, don't turn over the ball offense, and you'll be in the games. And then situationally, who's the best coach team?
Okay, so I just want to shift gears real quick, because I know we don't have you for the entire show, but did you happen to watch the Nick Saban, Bill Belichick
Documentary.
Or I don't know if it's a documentary.
You better believe it. That was great. I love watching it.
So do you remember the part where he talked about the 2007 season where he's like, in retrospect, maybe we should have lost the game and, you know, to prove that we're mortal and the ball isn't just going to bounce your way? And because he almost feels like that would have relieved some stress or a burden.
Refocused.
Yeah, refocused the team.
Yeah, and my immediate reaction was, you're wrong, Bill. You're wrong. I disagree. And I know what he was coming from in terms of to ultimately win the championship. That championship, would that have helped us? That is possibly, maybe yes, because of that one loss refocusing us. But you got to understand, the majority of the veteran players on that team already had three in their back pocket, and we didn't just want another championship; we wanted the championship. And we talked about that in captains' meetings, and we said, don't take us out, Bill, because we all know we don't talk about it, but what we want to achieve is we don't want to lose any of them. We want to shut everyone up because we got those three championships already. We just want to win the one that'll shut everyone up for the rest forever. And that's what we are trying to do. And I wouldn't change anything for the world, because that's what we had to go for, was going for the championship that would trump all of the others. And that's where we eventually failed, yes, but that was the goal.
When we heard that, my first thought was, I guess maybe if you dropped that game to the Giants later in the regular season and met the team, the only team that beat you, I don't know, would that have made a difference? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, refocusing that group, I mean, I thought Bill did a great job that year of making us feel like we never won a game anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so we were always focused. I mean, we had Seau and Moss. We had guys that we wanted to win championships for, and we realized that, you know, you just keep winning, because it's like, you know, those 16 one-game seasons, and you just take them one at a time, you know, just one in a row, just 10 times, one in a row, 11 times, all of that, and you just keep going. That's the way the formula was. I did hear, when I heard that from Bill last night, I was like, all right, I know what you're saying, man, but nah, Bill, you don't know what you're talking about with that.
I was shocked at that one, Teddy, because you may remember it. The columnist for the Boston Herald at the time wrote a piece about that. And I remember we talked to Bill on Monday and asked him that, and Bill started saying, this is ridiculous. Everybody was saying it was ridiculous. I almost think what he's doing now is he's just, you know, looking back years later, he talks about how those losses always stay with you. So he's trying to look back at that 07 season. Is there anything we could have done that maybe would have changed it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. He was. And I just remember the tone, like I said, the tone to get the championship that would trump them all. And then later on, a couple years later, the absolute, I don't know if the right word is, outrage of Indianapolis doing exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, they sat it out at the end.
They shut it down.
Yeah.
And they had a chance to run the table in the regular season, and they shut it down, I think, with 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Jeff Saturday, who was their center when he was at ESPN, because he's working there too, and he said he fought tooth and nail to try to keep playing and keep winning, because he wanted to try it also, but he sort of got overruled from upstairs.
All right, last one for me, Teddy. So you were you or were you not the first, I guess, original chair of the Best Buddies event? Weren't you like the guy for that event originally?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had it, right? And then was there a football game when you did it?
There was no football game. There was the bike ride in Hyannis, of course, and that was the main event.
Okay, so then Brady takes it over. He adds a football game. So now he's stepping down. Now you have Julian and Jason Tatum. All right, so I don't think they'll have a football game, but I mean, I don't know. Like, what would you what
need
would
a
you add?
Quarterback.
To?
I mean,
well, I know. I mean, Brady's not going to do it anymore. I mean,
yeah, I guess I don't know.
What are your responsibilities for that? Like, how much involvement do you have if you're the chair? Like, you just show up, or do you actually, like, you know, meeting and stuff and having really important conference
calls. For me, it was
the
early stages, so they just needed me to help with the bike race, and it was something my then agent Brad Blank is also very involved in Best Buddies, and they do great work, of course, and I was glad to help. And it was really just something where they needed me for the weekend, and that was something I was glad to help. But I'm not sure now that it's changed and it's morphed into something so big, of course, with Tom and the football game there at Harvard, and then the entire weekend. So I figure it could be time consuming.
Teddy, you read into that at all? Is this Tom leaving more breadcrumbs that he's out of here, or what?
Well, I read it into possibly him deciding to spend less time in the off season here. I mean, the off season's in the past. The last couple of years, he's wanted to spend as much time, you know, away. So more time away does tell me things about him wanting to be away from New England, and what is the reason for that. Sure, I have those thoughts.
All right, Teddy, we won't waste any time on the Bengals. Waste your time on the Bengals. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Guys, take care. Thanks.
All right, see you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.